Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we're discussing advertising for The Nun that even YouTube said was too shocking, some are movie cliches, reviews, and then our topic this week, what movies will be greatly improved with the addition of puppets? Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, Johnny Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully. And Amanda Sink.
Hello. Hello.
And puppets. John, you're excited because there's puppets.
I'm feeling like a couple of Fozzies over here.
Oh, my gosh.
I barely know what that means. Is that sad?
It's a character.
Like, yeah, I get that. I'm just like,
it's also a Tarantino riff, so.
Yeah, I guess it works that way. So now let's start talking about feet. Women's feet. What is the obsession with Tarantino and women's feet? Can anybody explain it? That's where I go when you bring it up. Feet. It's weird. One thing I think we should mention before we really get into the normal show is let's give it up for Aretha Franklin, because her music has been part of so many movies and TV shows that I think the woman deserves an applause.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yep. There you go. The whole world went, aww, when she passed away.
Yeah. I think that was exactly, aww.
You know, in my hometown, she was supposed to come and do a concert and didn't because she thought it wasn't good enough. Our theater wasn't good enough. And I'm not saying she's wrong.
She's not. She's really.
She came in. And I think it was like an acoustic thing. People made it a big deal in the area. Oh, she's too good for it. I don't think it was that. It just seemed like the acoustics weren't welcoming for her.
Sounds like she dodged a bullet, honestly. Well, literally.
In my hometown, yes. It's definitely dodging a bullet. All right. Well. Moving on, there's some happy news and sad news. Shooter on USA was canceled. That's sad. I'm very, very sad. Maybe they might find another home. But The Alienist on TNT was renewed. So, that's cool. I like that show a lot.
I still haven't finished it. And I was really excited about it when I first saw it. I just haven't had the time.
So you're poo-pooing my excitement?
No.
It felt like I was excited, and then you said, well, I couldn't even finish it. I mean, it was only...
No.
I was so excited
Aaron,
that I watched it.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you, John.
I'm sad about Shooter, though.
So now we're back on you? It's all about... I'm trying to talk about me for a minute.
We talked about you. Now we've moved on. Right. Now we're talking about me, and then we're going to talk about John.
I'm very sad for Shooter.
Probably not.
John's like, I haven't watched either of them, and I don't care.
All he cares about today is puppets.
Yeah, I've never seen a guy so excited to talk about a topic. So you're going to have to explain why when we get to the puppets, because I just don't understand the whole puppet thing. YouTube, this one, all right, real movie and TV news. This is legit. YouTube pulled an ad for The Nun because the clip violated its violent and shocking content policy. What exactly does this mean? What is this ad doing on YouTube?
Well, the ad is really simple. It's just basically black screen until the nun situation jumps out at you. And it doesn't do anything. It just kind of like pops up on the screen. But I looked into...
Isn't there something with the volume thing?
Yeah.
Though?
Yeah,
you're missing the whole volume part where the screen makes you think the volume keeps going down on its own and it forces you to fight against it. And then... So then you end up raising the volume, and then she pops up. So not only does she blow out your eardrums, but then she gives you a heart attack, and then you're bleeding from the ears and dead at the same time. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of this level of advertising.
I mean, yeah, good for them on figuring something out for marketing. But I looked at YouTube's violent and shocking content and ads, you know, like requirements for them to meet this and have it violated.
That's like a real thing. They didn't just make this up?
It's a real thing. So I was looking through it, though, and I don't really know how it meets any of the requirements, because some of the examples of content they consider that may be violent or shocking: profane language, violent language, discriminatory terms or imagery, gruesome imagery, graphic images or accounts of physical trauma, gratuitous bodily fluids or waste, promotions that are likely to shock or scare. I guess it could fit in that. Promotions that are capitalizing on sensitive events. I didn't really get scared by it. Like, don't you know something's going to happen? I don't understand.
I think John's laughing because you're like, I don't see why it's in there. And then you literally read it. And it's like, yeah, it's there.
No, I'm like, I guess maybe you could put it there, but I just really feel like it doesn't fit.
It's so early to lose John so quickly. John, okay. you still with us?
I'm okay.
All right.
It sounds like someone took over your body for a minute.
Yeah, Aaron got it right on the nose. You're like, I don't know what's wrong with this ad, and I don't get it. And then graphic and shocking thing, and you're like, oh, well, maybe it fits in there. Did you even read it?
It says promotions that are likely to scare, and I don't really think it's scary at all.
I'm more likely to take my phone and throw it across the room doing this.
It's just more kind of like annoying. But I don't know. It is. I guess it is what it is. I guess it violates that if they feel like
we've assumed you don't know what it is at this point.
No, so. I do. Right. I just don't feel like it's scary. Do you guys honestly feel like that ad was scary?
This is not the first time we've seen something like this. There's a YouTube video people like to share back and forth. That's like, it's the woods and it's a car driving down the woods. And then all of a sudden, like something jumps out at you and it gets really loud. It's not anything different than that YouTube video. So I get where people are coming from. And you've got some people who are clicking on a video for, let's see, puppies wrestling in the grass. That's going to be cute. And then this ad comes up and shocks the crap out of them. That's a different story. Or they're watching YouTube with their kids, because that's a thing that apparently happens. And then their kids are like, you know, need to go to therapy.
People watch YouTube. Well, what are you going to watch? What are you watching on YouTube? I guess you can watch parts of cartoons. You can watch for 10 minutes of cartoons.
No, there's actually creators who make shows for kids. It's
that's cool.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if you think about any show you can find on TV, you can find its equivalent on YouTube, probably a little bit shorter and sometimes a little bit better.
And don't they do streaming and stuff on there or people can post their videos of them playing games?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My nephew, that's all he does on YouTube is watches those videos.
I will never mention the YouTube Red content, their streaming network.
The Karate Kid show.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai. Yeah. Illegal kick.
I guess when you bring kids into it, I can see how it could scare a child. But for me as an adult, I just don't think it's a scary ad.
Do they have a creepy Mr. Rogers show?
You'll cry at anything that's out there. You'll cry at closing of a show that people like aren't listening to, but you're not scared of this.
Nope. If it had a spider that jumped on the screen, I would be out. K-O.
Yeah, but that would be the name of the movie is The Nun, not The Spider.
I know. I'm just saying that's the only thing that's really going to get me. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem. It's not scary.
It is something. It's an interesting tactic to take where you see this ad and it makes you keep pushing. It engages you with it. So you're not going to forget it. At the same time, it might cause people to break their phones, because I would think my phone wasn't working if I couldn't. Because it's basically you can't make the volume change, right? It sees it says volume button, but you push it and nothing happens, kind of thing.
Well, no, you keep raising the volume on the phone because it looks like somebody is dropping the volume on your phone.
Yeah, that's what it's about. And I would be so mad at my phone by the end of this ad, I wouldn't even care about the nun anymore. I would just be, well, I would have to see a nun for forgiveness, because I would bash my phone against the wall so hard. It would just make me so angry. I'm getting angry thinking about it. So let's move on to something happy. On our next episode, we're going to be handing out our whole summer movie. Wait, John, on this YouTube thing, is there like a creepy Mr. Rogers channel? Because I would watch that. Like some guy who's a little leery, but he's doing Mr. Rogers.
It's
TV.
Like Mr. Joe in his van.
Yeah, the candy van. I'm actually sure that there's probably something like that. There's I've seen some things like. I've seen some things. Let's just put it that
way. You've been around the block. You've seen it.
Yeah. He's watched a lot of YouTube, is what he's saying. All right. On our next episode, we're going to be handing out our summer whole movie awards. But on this one, as summer comes to a close, let's talk about some of the summer movie tropes or cliches we're kind of tired of. And broaden it up a little bit. So think of the things about summer movies, maybe experiences or scheduling that you are just ready to either never see again or take a little sweet long break from.
You know, this summer I have to say that there's not a lot that bothered me about summer movies. It was I feel like though the summer wasn't as impactful as other summers might have been, I think everything still, even though like this whole sequel thing has really got to stop happening as much.
Wasn't there about 2 months where it was nothing but sequels, or a month and a half? Yeah. Every
like
week.
It would be nice to have a like a summer without sequels. It's not going to happen, but it would be nice to have it. Beyond that, I think I'm pretty happy with what we got this year. I didn't get any. I think the stuff that we watched was like, if there was a trope in it, they actually acknowledged the trope and like kind of winked at us for it, and then they moved on. And I appreciate that. So I really had trouble thinking about anything that really got under my skin.
Oh, well, good. Good thing I'm here. Amanda, do you have anything?
Well, you guys already mentioned it, and it's just the sequels. Why can we not get anything new and creative as a property this summer? It just felt like we were bombarded with the sequels.
Well, on the same token, people aren't going to even with MoviePass, when it did work, people weren't going to the movies that were original or unique. Eighth Grade didn't make hardly anything. Hereditary did okay. You know, there were movies out there. You know, A24, I think, made all of them.
But, they do.
But there are definitely new and unique movies. I guess The Megs are a new property, so that did definitely pretty well. Crazy Rich Asians is doing well.
Yeah. So they have the opportunity. Apparently, if you've had a book that it's based on, you're going to do really
books
well.
Books sell. Everything's got to have some kind of name brand. But then you had Black Klansman's doing well. You know, even though I'm not a Spike Lee fan, I've heard that movie's really good. I haven't seen it yet. Then you have Sorry to Bother You. There's a lot of artistic flicks out there, but they're not getting half of the screens or press or anything else as Jurassic Planet or Mars, Jurassic World, whatever the hell that is. You know, Mission Impossible 27. Tom Cruise hasn't aged still. You know, all the sequels are.
And Netflix. Netflix is coming out with our original content. So I guess if we're taking movie theaters separately from Netflix, then yes, we have way too many sequels and I would like a break. But if we're looking at Netflix, I think that's where people are going to get their originals at this point.
Do you think that's true?
I do. I'm not going to the theater because I'm like, wow, there's going to be a new property here. I can't wait to see what this brand new creative idea is. I'm like, Netflix has a new original. Sweet. It's going to be great. And it's something new, different every time. I mean, they're not doing sequels for their movies.
Yet. It's more so than just Netflix, because you can get a lot of original content on VOD as well. This summer, I watched quite a bit of VOD and Netflix and stuff that was brand new on Amazon Prime. And I think everyone's gotten to the point where they know that they're not going to be able to sell anything in the theater that's not a sequel or a remake or based off a previous property. So why not put it someplace where it's more easily accessible?
All right. Well, since you guys didn't bring anything to the table, I've got stuff. So
let's hear your complaints. Sit down.
Okay. First off, Mission Impossible. We can give the Rubber Mask a movie off, I think, at this point.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, as cool as it is that Christopher McQuarrie is like, I can always do two masks a movie. I'm like, nah, I don't think you can anymore. I think you really need a break, because it's starting to be like Scooby-Doo, where I'm like, oh boy, rut-row, here we go. You know, and that's the one thing where I think people kind of cringe when it happens. So maybe we can give that a movie off.
I agree. Yeah. Stamp of approval.
I love it.
It's like a puppet.
I fall for it every single time. I'm okay with it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I find that you're okay with it, but you fall for it every time. You don't see that coming a mile away.
You naive son bitch.
I don't know why, but that rubber mask in MI6 always works for me. I was a fan of the show as a kid, so I guess it's part of it. But the in this one, they were supposed to do the rubber mask, but then they broke the machine to make the rubber mask, and I think they only used it once, didn't they?
I don't remember. I know they used it.
No, they had it twice.
I think they had it twice. Yeah, they had it twice.
I don't think so. I think it was only once.
It was the very end, and then they had one before that.
Yep. That's twice.
Wait, what? What did you just say?
They had one at the very, very end, and then they had one before that.
What are you laughing about?
Come on, Giggle McGigglester.
You know what's going on right now.
They had one at the very end, and then there was one somewhere before that.
Yeah, I don't remember where, but it happened.
That's cheating.
Benji. They had Benji have one.
Yeah, Benji was in the mask, and that was the only mask that I think.
Which one was at the end?
The very end was they did it twice. They did. Oh, God, I'm trying to remember this movie now.
Tom Cruise running. Blah, 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 blah.
Tom Cruise running. More Tom Cruise running.
Broken
Tom
ankle. Cruise,
like, about from to get into a fight running. With somebody half his age and being like, this again?
Well, thankfully, we'll have this question answered by next week for our summer movie awards. We got to move on to my other stuff.
Okay.
PG-13. I need a few more R-rated options. I feel like there were too many movies this summer where I felt like they needed to be R-rated. The Meg being one of them, I think, could have been even better with an R rating. There's definitely some room for that. And I really like an R-rated Star Wars movie, but I'm never getting it. So
nope. Pass.
Shut up. I want F-bombs. And I want people to actually see gaping holes from all those lightsabers and body parts flying everywhere. Yeah, I want some real.
All right, well, that I can get behind.
Okay. I have two or three. Here's a couple of big ones. Why does every summer blockbuster have to have a love story? I realize they want to have this four-quadrant thing where hits across the board, but dinosaurs are going extinct again. Statham is kicking a shark. Deadpool needs some motivating. They automatically go to tossing in another love interest. And I got to be honest, believe it or not, if I'm about to die or I see somebody else about to die, the last thing I'm thinking about is, you know what? She's pretty cute. I think I'm going to go be sweet on her. I'm going to go, hey, how you doing? Let's make some lovey love talk. We're only about to die. There's a shark attacking the ship. Why don't I just go flirt with this chick and her kid? That stuff drives me crazy.
Aaron, if not then, when? You'll never get a chance again.
It feels like an inopportune time to be trying to mac on somebody.
The reason.
Is that still a thing to mac on?
They do it at that time, at the most inopportune time, is because it is the most opportune time because she realizes life is about to end, possibly. So, I guess this is my last option. Yeah, this is my last choice if I want to, you know, get it out before I die. They have to
get it out, exactly?
Well, I didn't want
to. No, I got you. I think the world got you. We understand.
Get it in. It's not out. I don't know what she's taking out.
I think that was more.
Jump up and down on. I don't know what you're going with. Where are you going with this?
I don't know. Let's see. Okay, you were talking about sequels. I want them to stop making sequels to movies that don't need them, like Sicario. We didn't need a part two. And after you saw part two, I definitely didn't need a part two.
Oh, man.
It's just like
Yeah, shitting thanks for taking that bullet film. For me, because I was so ready to go see that. And then you guys saw it without me. And I went, that's a shame. And then you all said, that sucked. And I went, whew.
Yeah. That ending still has me so angry from walking out. I don't get mad at movies, but I got mad at that movie. It was almost like a fountain level of anger explosion for me. I was just like, what? Because first half, good. Second half, dumb.
Well, and that's also a trend with these sequels, I feel like, for a lot of them. Because you saw, what's the movie, the internet movie?
Dark Web.
Yeah, you saw that
Unfriended
one. It was the
web.
Same problem.
Yep, it was really good until the last 20
minutes. Yeah, and so then they just flub the end. Like, they don't really care. They're like, well, we got this far, and we've at least kept them in the theater, so they can't get their refund.
I saw their box office. They didn't get anybody in the theater. Me. They got me and the people I was with, and that was their entire box office, I think.
You know, speaking of movies that got only, like, five people in, did you see what Kevin Spacey's latest movie brought in?
He had a new movie?
Yep.
Yeah, Billionaire Boys Club, right? It just released. Yep. I think it was like $130 or something like that.
$126 is what it made.
Damn.
So
I gave it $4 too much credit. Yeah.
Not $126,000. $126.00 US Not Wakanda dollars.
Not Wakanda dollars. Is that better or worse?
I'm pretty sure Wakanda dollars has more value than the U.S. dollar.
That's why I think she's trying to, like...
I'm hoping that you can convert that into more money.
It's not very much, is what we're getting.
Yeah, apparently those poor bastards made the movie 2 years ago, and it was before anyone had any idea, which I doubt, because he made this movie with, like, Ansel Elgort and some other pretty kid, and I doubt those kids made it. Maybe I should stop right there.
Yeah, I don't want to know what you were going with on that one. All right, last one. I want outlets to, A, stop predicting box office, because you're always really wrong. And B, I want them to stop using the opening weekend just in the U.S. to determine if a movie is a win.
Mm.
That drives me crazy. oh, I only made like $12 million here, so it's a flop. Yeah, well, if it makes $250 million overseas, it's not a flop. XXX3 is a prime example. It only made $44 million here, and everybody in the U.S. called it a flop. It made like almost $400 million worldwide because certain actors are huge overseas. Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible, it could do $50 million here. It's still going to do like $300, $400 million abroad. Mm-hmm. He's huge overseas because they don't know what Scientology is.
They don't care.
Exactly. They don't care.
You just offended so many people.
I probably won't have that in there.
It's funny.
Now we're going to move on to movie innuendo, Amanda. Oh, you know what? Before we do that, I should say, if you're a Patreon supporter, our fall movie preview is live at patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. If you want to contribute, you can get immediate access to that and a lot of other bonus stuff, including our bad movie nights where we look at a movie that is seen as bad and try to find the light in it and have a little fun with it. But the fall movie preview is exclusive to Patreon. We're not going to have it on this feed. So if you want to listen to that, you have to sign up.
So go do that.
Thank you, everybody that does that. Now let's go to movie innuendo.
So each of us are going to pick two innocent lines from the respective movie of The Muppets, and we're going to deliver them as sexually as possible. And then at the very end, we're each going to vote on it and see who has done so the most effectively. Aaron, you can start us off. Give us your sexy voice.
Piggy, why do you always have to be so dramatic about things? You know, it leaves me no choice but to do things that'll hurt you.
Damn you.
Oh, that was good.
I think you got a little too interested.
No,
in that
but
one.
I thought you were just going to go like Piggy. I was like, okay, this is weird, but.
That could work. Hey, Piggy, what's up?
I had that one written down.
Oh, you don't have that one anymore. Bye.
Nope.
I mean, you two could also try to go competition head-to-head and see who does it better.
You could try to see if you could do it better.
What?
Okay, then do you know. It's your turn, jackass. Go.
Go, animal. Be free. But remember, no drumming.
Okay.
The thing that weirds me out is you think that's super sexual with the drumming, I bet. And I'm trying to figure out what could that possibly mean.
Wow, that was an expensive-looking explosion.
That's gross.
But dis.
That's gross.
Perfect for the upcoming Muppet movie, though.
All right. Next, final round, right?
Yes, it is.
Waka waka.
The introduction really sold it.
Right. Well, might as well keep on with the Fozzie Bear references. I went to this bad seafood place the other day. Yeah, it was so bad, the catch of the day was salmonella.
Why is that sexy?
Why is that sexy?
He's like, I love my women to throw up in the middle of the night.
John, sometimes you disturb me with what you find sexual.
Oh, God. I don't want to know what you do in the bedroom.
All right, Mandy, last one.
No marriage certificate is needed. Bow chicka.
No. You can't throw a bow chicka on it to make it better. There's like naked lines in there.
This one's hard. Where did you find naked lines?
There's a line that says, do what I do. Imagine the audience naked. There's that on there.
Yeah, that was too easy.
But salmonella was a harder
You really
sell.
Went for a challenge.
Yeah, I go for the challenge.
Okay, who won?
Aaron, I think I'm going to have to go with yours.
Yeah, you took the good one first. I was really hoping that I was big, nobody else noticed that one.
But you had the salmonella at the ready.
Right.
That's so funny.
And you know, if I'm going to be honest, that's the first one I found.
Oh, my God.
The one you picked was the last one I found.
You look for innocent lines that could sound sexual, and you read the salmonella one, you're like, oh, God, yes, I am on with that one. Mm.
You know, you're sounding awfully judgy right now.
All right, well, we're moving on to spoiler-free reviews. We got a couple of them, Mile 22, and then we'll briefly talk about To All the Boys I've Loved Before, if John's cool with that. Mile 22, man. Take it away.
So Mile 22 is the new Marky Mark movie.
What? Wait, first, why do you say it like a 12-year-old girl every time you say Marky Mark?
Because I've thought he was attractive since I was a young child. So I don't know. I think that probably just holds through. Fine.
Mark Wahlberg
is in a new movie. And CIA operative James Silva leads a small but lethal paramilitary team on an urgent and dangerous mission. They must transport a foreign intelligence asset from an American embassy in Southeast Asia to an airfield for extraction, a distance of 22 miles. Now we know where the title comes from. Silva and the soldiers soon find themselves in a race against time as the city's military, police, and street gangs close in to reclaim that asset. Aaron, you saw this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And does it stand up to other Mark Wahlberg films?
Well, two things. One, I saw this at our annual Hollywood Outsider drive-in movie night, which we had a great turnout. So thank you to everybody that came to that.
Yeah, thank you. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we had a really, really good turnout. So thank you to all that came. What was your question? I forgot. I was all.
How does it compare with other Mark Wahlberg films? If you're even a big Mark Wahlberg fan,
I like Mark Wahlberg enough. Not necessarily as a person, because if you know, he's sounds like an egomaniac most of the time. But his movies I typically enjoy. I really enjoy his work with Peter Berg, who he's reuniting with for the fourth time, and I think 5 years for this one. You know, they did Patriot's Day, Lone Survivor, Deepwater Horizon. So they have a chemistry and they have a history, and he's good, especially in these types of roles. And I think he's good here, except it's a little overdone to a degree.
Overdone how?
Well, Silva is supposed to, of course, be very intense. And he's a great military guy. He's got an anger problem. He's intense. And he's a great military guy. You know this because the opening credits spend 5 minutes just telling you how awesome this dude is. It's literally 5 minutes of names and background information on this one character. Definitely setting it up, trying to go for a franchise is what I'm guessing. But then throughout the movie, he's constantly, because in the credits they introduce that he takes a rubber band and he slaps it against his wrist, and that'll help him when he's having his anger management problems. Yeah, I've been in the military. It'd be real tough for this guy to get through with that kind of anger management problem. But I mean, I get it. He's good at killing people. So sure. It was a little much. It was a little over the top.
Yeah, I would agree.
Every scene he's in, it felt like, hey, let's reinforce the fact that he's angry.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with what you're saying there. And I can see where you're saying now that it's overdone in that personality type. So I also want to talk about not just Mark Wahlberg, but I think how you might say his name is Iko Uwais.
Oh, he was great.
Okay. Well,
he's the guy from The Raid and the Raid movies. Yeah.
Yeah. And Headshot and stuff like that. He's an Indonesian actor and he's also a stuntman. Mm-hmm. So what did you think about him acting and doing his stunts?
You could tell English isn't his first language, but he did really well. And everything that was physical, he was amazing to watch. He was just, I mean, it was like watching Jackie Chan or Jet Li. I mean, he's that good, I thought.
I would definitely lean towards Jet Li.
I dug him way more than Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, definitely kind of steals the show for you,
And I will say Laura Cohen is in this, and I think she's good. But while they spent too much time focused on Silva's intensity and anger, they spend even more too much time on Cohen's situation as a mom. I think they were trying to do something good by focusing on a woman trying to be a mother while also doing a job like this, you know, being part of this elite team and how hard it is. But it just came across as, I don't know, it came across more sexist than it did cool to me. You're a woman. Do you agree? I feel like every scene she's in, everything had to be about her being a mom.
Yes, it was. There was no, they didn't give her strength, I really felt like. Her character they always kind of made her look a little bit weak. And she was always, her emotions took over her and she couldn't just handle the situation. And there are so many moms out there, especially in a position like this, where you have to have a level of equilibrium for your emotions to be able to get this type of job done working with the CIA. Come on.
It just felt like that typical, stereotypical, it's a woman mom thing. I mean, she's so worried about being a mom. She can't do her job sometimes. Yeah. And I just didn't like that because you don't get to that position if you're like that.
Agreed. So if the full price of admission were $10, what would you give it?
I don't want to say it's a good movie because I don't think it is. I think it has a good twist and it's entertaining enough. I also don't think it's a bad movie. I would give it $5.50 because I do. It's an enjoyable hour and a half at the cinema. If you think about it too hard, that score keeps going down. But if you just take it as is, it's about $5.50.
Yeah, I would
good
say.
Good average movie.
It's good rental to watch at home. I don't know that it's worth a theater visit.
I do like the twist. There's a twist near the end, and I thought that was really good. Well, but that doesn't support some of the other problems I had. Story's kind of a mess, but what are you going to do? To All the Boys I've Loved Before, this is a Netflix flick. Stars Lana Condor as Lara Jean Covey, who writes letters to all of her past loves. The letters are meant for her eyes only until one day when the love letters are sent out to all of her previous loves. Oh, that sounds kind of mean. Her life is soon thrown into chaos when her foregoing loves confront her one by one. John, is this a comedy or a dramedy? What is this exactly?
It's a romantic comedy.
Okay. And is it, I guess the bottom line, is it funny and sweet?
It is very sweet. It has funny moments, and it's really a great watch. Like, the whole time I was watching it, I had a smile on my face. The actors were surprising because I never heard of any of these people, but yet they were so much fun to watch, and I really can't wait to see them in more things. Anna Cathcart, who plays Kitty, the youngest sister, is adorable, and I want to see her get like a spunky character on Stranger Things or something. I just want to see more of her. Lana Condor was amazing and fun and captivating to watch. Noah Centineo, he's the main love interest of, or quote unquote love interest of the story, and he's kind of like a very tall Mark Ruffalo, which was weird. I had problems like correlating with that because he sounded like Mark Ruffalo. He had facial expression like it was like he was acting like Mark Ruffalo. It's like he's like the Christian Slater of our time.
Hey, don't talk about Christian Slater. I'm a big fan of Christian Slater, especially when he talks like Jack Nicholson for no reason whatsoever.
Exactly.
So we can add that. Are we just going to have a new voice every episode for you?
You never know exactly what I'm going to do week to week. You know what I mean? Pump up the volume.
Okay.
All right. So if $10 is full price of admission, what do you give to All the Boys I've Loved Before?
$7.50. I really liked it. I almost wanted to watch it immediately again is how much I enjoyed it. I could honestly see myself putting it on the background, or if I wanted to just have a sit down and have something fun on TV, or something has a good feeling, I would put this on. $7.50 is very fair for this.
All right. Very sweet. And hey, it's on Netflix. Did you watch it too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Late at night, but I couldn't fall asleep just yet. So
did you cry? Because you apparently cry at everything.
I do cry at everything. I don't think I cried in this one, actually. I think I was too tired to cry.
That's good.
So maybe when I watch 12 Years a Slave, I'll just watch that one when I'm really tired or something. And then
no, just don't.
Yeah, it doesn't get less sad no matter when you watch it.
I don't think it'll get less sad. I'm just hoping my tear ducts just dry up.
Did you cry during the Meg?
No, I didn't. See, there are movies that I don't cry in, guys. I'm not that
emotional.
Mile
22? Did you cry at Mile 22?
I cried at my misery.
She obviously liked it less than I did.
I was so tired. It made me tired. I wasn't tired when I started watching it. And then I started to feel suddenly very sleepy.
Can I tell you something funny about the Meg? Every single time I've seen it, and I've seen it 3 times, don't ask why. Just don't. It just worked out that way. I saw it 3 times in a week. Every single time Statham takes his shirt off, someone in the audience goes, oh
that was me. Yeah.
Someone. Not, you weren't there all three. I only saw time with you. But every showing I've been to, someone does that. Everybody. Or every showing.
And also, I will say on the Meg, Ruby Rose crying is bad. It's so bad.
Told you.
I did not expect it to be that bad. But here we are.
All right. New releases, John. What's coming out? Oh, I bet you I know one. And we're doing 2 weeks because next week is the Ho Awards.
Right. So coming up on the 24th, we have the Happy Time Murders, when the puppet cast of a 1980s children TV show begin to get murdered one by one. A disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case. This is directed by Brian Henson. That name should be of note because his last name is Henson.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that sit in.
Jim Henson's son.
Right.
I wonder if his dad would be proud of him that he's making a puppet movie of foul-mouthed R-rated puppets.
I actually think there's a little bit of trouble between the owners of the Muppets, which is, I think, is Disney now, and with Brian Henson. They weren't really thrilled that Brian Henson made this movie. Anyhow, this stars Melissa McCarthy.
All Sesame, No Street. That one.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
This stars Melissa McCarthy, Elizabeth Banks, Maya Rudolph, Leslie David Baker, Joel McHale. They're all in this movie. Also on the 24th, we have Axel. That's A.X.L. Ugh. Is a top secret robotic dog who develops a special friendship with Miles. And this is directed by Oliver Day. And whatever happened to Thomas Jane's careers in here, Becky G, Ted McGinley, he's kind of going to come back. And Alex Nudes, whatever. His name's Miles in this. Robotic dog, come on. The summer of 84 on VOD, also on the 24th. After suspecting their police officer neighbor is a serial killer, a group of teenage friends spend their summer spying on him and gathering evidence. But as they get closer to discovering the truth, things get dangerous. This has three directors. I don't know why, but there's three of them. Graham Verschier is one of the stars. Judah Lewis, Caleb Mary, Emery. These are kids I don't know, but I think this is like also supposed to be Stranger Things, the movie, but a little bit darker without any sort of magic.
Hmm.
On the 29th, we have Operation Final. A team of secret agents set out to track down a Nazi officer who masterminded the Holocaust. It's directed by Christopher White and stars Oscar, everyone wants to throw their panties at him, Isaac, Melanie Laurent, Haley Lou Richardson, and Ben Kingsley. And then also on the 31st, we have Kin. Chased by a vengeful criminal, the feds and a gang of otherworldly soldiers, a recently released ex-con and his adopted teenage brother are forced to go on the run with a weapon that of mysterious origins as their only protection. This is directed by Jonathan and Josh Baker. It stars Carrie Coon, James Franco, Zoe Kravitz, Dennis Quaid. Hey, gonna give that a second. And moving on. Jack Rayner and Miles Truitt. So that's your options for the next few weeks. Aaron, how do you feel about Dennis Quaid being in Ken?
I will watch that solely because Dennis Quaid's in it. And actually, I think the cast sounds really good. So even though it's the end of summer movie and people, in case you didn't know, movies that usually come out at the end of summer are not so good, especially that last weekend because it's one of the worst weekends to release a movie of the entire year. I will still see it because the cast is really good. But I got to tell you, Summer of 84 really, really stands out as something, a video on demand that just sounds like a cool concept. Maybe it's great, maybe it sucks. I don't know, but I want to check that one out. And, of course, the puppet movie.
I'm in a weird spot because, well, you know what? Amanda, you can have the floor now.
Well, for the first week, I'm definitely going with Happy Time Murders. I think we're probably all going to be on the same page for that. And then for week two, I'm interested in Operation Finale just because of Isaac, but I really want to see Kin. I think that one has stacked cast, so that'll be my pick for the second week that we have on the list.
Mostly because of the Quaid, though, right?
Mostly because of Franco.
Mostly because of the Quaid.
The Franco.
Mostly because of the Quaid.
The Franco.
The Quaid.
The Franco. Mm. The Franco.
Is this what the difference is, say, the Kravitz?
You know, that works, too. I'd watch
that's
her.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not a terrible reason. For the 24th, Happy Time Murders and Summer of 84, both are very interesting to me, of course, Happy Time Murders. And then Operation Finale, I really can't wait to see that one because that's an era of movies I can't seem to avoid. And I'm pretty sure my wife is going to make me watch it anyways because of Oscar Isaac. And Kin is something that I have a little bit of trouble with because like the trailer, I'm going to end up seeing it because the cast looks great. And I can't imagine how this cast ended up in this movie. But the trailer kind of sets me off a little bit. I don't know. I think it's drugs.
Why does it set you off a little bit?
There's just a feeling to the trailer where it feels it just feels off to me. Like it doesn't feel like an exciting or special movie in the trailer. It just feels very like plasticky to me.
Okay. That doesn't sound like set you off. It just sounds like you're more indifferent.
Right. That's what I, well, that's what I mean by set me off.
Wow. See, I hear set off. I feel anger. I feel like I just watched the Nun trailer and I thought my buttons were moving on my phone. So I picked it up and tossed it across the room because I thought my phone was broken.
Sounds like you need to see a therapist.
I should get the rubber band like Mark Wahlberg. Marky Mark! And then I can just like whap, whap, whap my wrist over and over throughout the
whap,
movie.
Whap, whap, whap.
That's what he does. He thwap. Maybe it's thwap.
Feel it, feel it.
I would not go with come on, whap. Come on.
That's what your he should wrist. Have said. If he would have done that, John, if he would have went like, feel it at any point during the movie, I would have bought that more. That
right.
That would have been a cool moment. That would have been like, oh, I get why he has to do it now. Thwap, thwap. It's so big. Like, apparently he can't emote. So they gave him a rubber band. So, hey, every time you're getting mad about something, just snap that rubber band. Then the audience will know you're mad about it. Because otherwise, he just looks mad.
I think I found a
time.
Transformer. That's what I'm mad at. I found a Transformer, and it makes me mad.
You know, at one point, one of the characters says, say hello to your mother for me.
What?
I swear to God, it happens in this movie. And they play it like it's serious. Like, they mean it serious. And if if you've ever seen the Saturday Night sketch where Andy Samberg does that, say hello to your mother for me, I couldn't watch it and not laugh out loud. It was just too hysterical.
Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
All right, so now we're from the outside in topic. We're going to puppet up some movies, okay? We're going to get there, so hold tight. Because this is our last episode of the summer, next week is our Summer Movie Awards. We're going to have a little bit more fun with our topic and less of a serious one. But for I got to know, John, okay? Because you're a big puppet freak. You love puppets. And why? Why are puppets even a thing? Do we not have enough people actors? I mean, we've got CGI. We've got people actors. What the hell? Why are puppets so cool for you?
So as a kid, I probably watched the Muppet movie a thousand times. I watched, and one of the first things, it's actually one of the first movies to ever make me cry because of the Rainbow Connection song. Beyond that, I find that puppets look like they have the same exact sort of tendency of looking alive or as we do. Like, I look at a puppet and I don't see something that gives me uncanny valley or anything like that. I see something that could be very well alive. It looks organic. It moves organically. The eyes, if done correctly, are moving around and making eye contact with you. They always, to me, feel like they can be just as real. And if you've ever seen one of the Hessian style puppets without a puppeteer inside of them, so to speak, sounds gross now that you say it out loud, but whatever. But if you ever see one of them, like, not moving around or anything, they look dead. It's weird. So they have like a state in which they look like a body, and they have a state where they look like an organic creature. So, and they always have this magical ability to emote better than we can, or at least in my mind, what I think how people really should emote, puppets always seem to do it, and it works. Whenever they want to emote something big, they don't have a problem with being very big about how happy they are or how angry they are. It just seems to connect more with me than oddly enough, than when people do it, because people always try to play it reserve or like, I'm too cool or I'm all this. Puppets don't care, man. Puppets are puppets and they have fun and they just let it out. I just feel like puppets are more than that. More than just felt and whatever they're made of. I find them to be magical little creatures that are just so much fun to watch.
My God, this is the most optimistic thing I've ever heard you say in your life. And it actually changed my mind.
Really?
Yeah, I get what he's saying.
Were you against puppets before? Were you on
I
the
wasn't
puppet
against
hate
I was
wagon?
Just like they're puppets. Like, I don't know that I necessarily care. Like, sometimes they're fun and stuff, but I don't really go, puppets. Where John is like, puppets, and they have
keep
like
in
a
mind,
halo.
John also thinks Salmonella is sexy.
He probably poisons his wife. Just he's like, bringing this to the bedroom tonight.
Oh, and diarrhea has never been sexy.
No, he's. I think from what I gathered from what John's saying is that the puppets are more authentic with what they feel, what they're thinking. very genuine and just forward with all of that, where people are, no, I can't talk about my feelings, or no, I'm just going to hold this in and not deal with it or think about it or whatever. Like, it'll just be something for me, where puppets are like, if I think it, I say it. If I feel it, I say it. It is what it is. And they're really fun and jovial about it. So yeah, John, you changed my mind.
Thank you.
I like them more.
What I like about puppets is if you inject them in any scenario, it makes the scenario completely different.
Yes.
Completely different. If you're having – I love Friday the 13th movies, right? So say you're having a Friday the 13th movie and all these kids are terrified and they're running, screaming. But then you saw Jason and he happened to be a puppet, different movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm immediately on Jason's side the whole way. I'm like, oh, he's so cute. Look at him. He's killing those kids. Ah, it's funny.
That's like when that
– makes it a comedy.
Yeah.
It does.
When Angel had that episode where they turned to
the
puppets.
Puppet Angel episode?
You're wee little puppet man! And then he actually beats up Spike as a puppet.
Oh my God. It's
That's such
so
a fun
good.
Episode.
It totally changes the dynamic for sure.
His girlfriend turns into a werewolf as he's a puppet and he's all shredded to bits.
Let's clarify. Puppets have been used for good. The Muppets, obviously, are the prime example, and bad. You know, people don't forget. We've got Annabelle, Puppet Master, whatever that freaky thing was in Poltergeist. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Creepy puppet. So what is your preference and why? Do you like the more jovial puppets, or do you like these creepy son bitches we should just light on fire?
I don't need them to be creepy. I like them when they're being fun, more funny than anything.
Do you get terrified by the evil puppets?
No. Mm-mm.
I get annoyed with evil puppets.
You get annoyed with evil puppets?
To me, like when you start using the puppets for evil, like to be like Annabelle and all these other things, that's when they stop being so believable to me.
Mm. Yeah,
that's when they crossed the line and went to a different place. Because and sometimes it's also the construction of the puppet too. Because like Puppet Master, those puppets aren't really constructed
all
that well.
They're not puppets. They're not. They don't look like puppets at all.
It's called Puppet Master.
But they're not masterful at their puppets.
they're also, good point. Thank you, Amanda. But they're marionettes. So, yeah, in the realm of puppiness, they're a puppet.
Well, I mean, some of the Annabelle could be called a doll, but I'd call it a puppet.
I'm going to just say this now. We're going to start a drinking game for listeners where every time you hear the word puppet, you take a shot.
No, they'd be dead by now.
Yeah. We're starting now. You'll still be dead. Don't do it. It's not safe, especially if you're driving. It's very bad.
Yeah, not if you're driving.
definitely, 100%. Don't puppet and drive.
Don't listen to me.
don't puppet and drive. Hashtag don't puppet and drive. The doll movie, they're the puppet movies where they're evil. I can't watch and not laugh at. I've never been able to watch one of those and be for it. Poltergeist comes close because I think it was done well in that movie because it was mm-hmm. more in the kid's mind as opposed to actually being a terrifying creature. But when you have like Annabelle, just makes me laugh out loud in my brain as I'm watching. I've actually laughed in those movies. People get mad at me for it. Like, I can't take it seriously, man. Why is this thing still in your house? It never looks like an adorable doll or puppet of any sort. I think it moved across the room. Time to burn it. There's no more need to have that thing in the house ever after that point. Let's go put it in the shed.
Let's call up Brian Williams and
right? Go old whole throwback. But then they go and they put it like in a shed or they put it somewhere else instead of just driving it the hell away, burning it, whatever, throw it in a wood chipper.
Punt it like a football.
Something you could do with this thing to get it away from you. And people always do the wrong thing. So I never take those seriously. I just laugh. Ha, 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 ha.
That's your laugh?
Yep.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, I mean, that's how the puppet would laugh.
Exactly. And they would throw their little arms out, their little tiny arms.
Like T-Rex arms.
Their little baby arms. They do. They all have T-Rex arms. All right. So take any three movies you feel could be improved on and would automatically be better films with puppets, either good or bad. You can go either way and then explain the how and the why. Ready?
One by one or all three at once?
We'll do one by one. Okay. Just round robin.
First one would be so much fun. Ghostbusters. If the team, like the main cast, like Aykroyd and them, if they were all Muppet Ghostbusters. Awesome. Could you imagine them just trying to suck up a ghost as little puppets? That would be fun.
Would it be as, I think that, would it be more fun? Could that would even be more fun than the original?
And they still voice it, still the original voices.
Oh, I'm kind of getting sold on that idea.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun. I would love to watch that.
Ghost Muppets.
Ghost Muppets!
Well, see, I would, my first one, and I legitimately would want to see this, and that's the saddest thing probably ever. Jurassic Park. Great, mm-hmm. great movie. We all know. Brilliant. But let's talk remake, okay? Because I don't want to change the original. Mm-hmm, I don't want to change it. But we're going to remake it. Our new cast, still actors. They're real actors. They're serious. They're all that build up about DNA and life finding a way. All that stuff happens. They get into the park. The Jeep breaks down. Everything is ominous and music is just same music. Change, keep the same score. I don't want anything changed in this movie except all the dinosaurs are puppets. So when the T-Rex comes, he's got the little arms. He's like, rah! When you've got him in the dining room or the kitchen and the velociraptors are running around chasing the kids, it's all puppet velociraptors and they're waving their little arms around. Rah!
Must go faster. Must go faster.
Oh, I love it. And you see the little puppet T-Rex in the mirror. Rah! Oh, I would watch the hell out of that.
That's fun.
Puppet Park. Jurassic Puppet Park. Something like that. All right. John, first one?
My first one is Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, because it was okay. But I think if the hobbits and the dwarves were Hessian-style puppets, it would be 100% better. Primarily because I want to see the singing around the table scene as they're all puppets instead of like dwarves and hobbits. That I think that scene would be 100% better. And fighting the orcs as puppets. So the orcs look like orcs, the orcs in the movie. But all our stars in the movie, puppets, I think 100% better.
John, is there even a movie that you wouldn't like to have puppets in?
It'd probably be easier for you to throw the movie at me and then it would be for me to think it out.
That means no. That means no. He means every movie would be better. But he's like Top Gun with puppets. Everything has puppets in it.
That might be better.
The enemy pilots and Top Guns are puppets.
Get them! They're all waving their little hands in the cockpit. Get Tom Cruise! Get up! All right, Amanda, what's your number two?
All right, so my second one is Logan. If Wolverine went around slicing and dicing puppets... And then all for the greater good, of course.
But it's still Hugh Jackman?
Yes, it's still Hugh Jackman.
I'm so
And yeah. He's just going around and you just see the little puppet body parts flying around. But he's still super badass when he does it and he just... And then puppets everywhere. We lost John.
You just made his favorite movie, I think.
I love it.
Oscar. That gets an Oscar immediately right there.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I love John's.
He's just excited. He's like, I can't wait to think of more puppet movies. Every movie should have puppets.
All right. I'm good.
Okay. My number two is The Fountain. I hate The Fountain. I hate it. It's a metaphor for metaphors. And it's exhausting in its pretentiousness. I just don't like that movie. But I guess Hugh Jackman should have more puppet movies. Maybe Greatest Showman can have puppets too.
Ooh!
But if you made Hugh Jackman a puppet, suddenly this movie has wings. It can fly. I legitimately believe that. And I'd love to see how pretentious Aronofsky can be with a puppet leading man. I think it would just be amazing to watch. Because he would play it entirely straight and act like that puppet was given the performance of its life.
Now I'm thinking about Greatest Showman with puppets, though.
Focus on my first pitch.
But just imagine them doing the little moves when Zendaya and Zac Efron, when they're doing their little dancey move thing together, and that you guys know what I'm talking about. They're mm-hmm. stunts. And then imagine if those were puppets and they were just flying around and pew. And then they grab hands again, and then they fly again. Pew!
It would actually be that pew noise would be in the movie itself.
It has to be. It's puppets. So, you have to have that. Yeah. All right, John, number two.
The Fast and the Furious. Nothing changes with the one exception.
And it all works, too.
Dominic Toretto is a puppet.
Oh, so everybody's an actor. Oh, I was thinking like the same plot and everything just with all puppets. I would watch the hell out of that. So you're saying just Vin Diesel?
Just Vin Diesel is a puppet. Still voiced by Vin Diesel, but he's a puppet.
That's amazing.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Waving his little arms. Why don't they just go ahead and add Paul Walker as a puppet to the future movie since he can't, be there.
His brothers would gladly be the voiceovers.
Yeah, his brothers want to go ahead and do the – I want to bring Paul Walker back, characters back in the next Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I'm sure it's because of their brother's honor, right?
Let it go, man. He went away with dignity. But yeah, I would love to see Vin Diesel as a puppet. They do. I would love to see Vin Diesel as a puppet.
That would be funny.
Good call. All right, Amanda, last one.
So I know we talked not about not really wanting them to be evil, but Shaun of the Dead, because they're funny anyway. That movie is very humorous. So imagine if next to the two main guys, they're still there as actors, but then they have a crew of puppets who aren't dead yet, but there's an infectious disease in the other puppets and they're running around, and then the puppets are zombies and they're attacking them, so they have to fight the undead puppets.
I was picturing the kill the queen scene where they're beating zombies with the cue sticks, cue queen.
Yes, and puppets.
And puppets. That works. And almost, it doesn't work as good as Logan, but that still works pretty good.
Logan is A+, but this one could be fun.
I would watch that. I actually, that and Logan is kind of getting me sold on a puppet franchise of sorts. my last one, The Last Boy Scout. I would love to see The Last Boy Scout. I want to see a puppet Bruce Willis and a puppet Damon Wayans, because it's the only way I can stomach Damon Wayans right now. Dropping F-bombs, cracking wise, all while shooting real people in the face. That's the one thing I really dug about the Happy Land Murders, is they're kind of playing the buddy cop thing legit. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see one of my favorite movies done in puppet style.
That'd Bad be cool. Boys.
Puppet Martin Lawrence.
Men in Black.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Technically, they already did Pirates of the Caribbean.
They did?
What?
Oh, Muppet Treasure Island?
Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh.
But think of a Pirates of the Caribbean, but only Jack Sparrow's a puppet. Because does anything change?
No, you question. Know what? I would rather see everything else be a puppet, but and still have Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
the human puppet's still
and
there.
He gets drunk with the puppets.
Yeah. Like, finally, Johnny Depp is acting with characters who can do what he can do.
All right, John. Last one.
My last one. Inglourious Basterds.
Ooh.
The bastards are all puppets. Everybody else is still a human. So my thinking behind this was really for this so one weird. Scene.
Okay.
So it's really for this one scene. So the scene where they have like the German soldiers and they're in front of that cave, and all of a sudden they're like, all right, well, let's get the Jew bear out.
Oh, yeah. The Jew bear comes out of the puppet.
And it's an actual bear, like a bear puppet.
It's Fozzie.
So not like Fozzie, but Henson has other bears that look like puppets, but it's bears. And so he comes out dressed out like the Jew, and just like the baseball bats hitting the wall, and he comes out and it's the Jew bear, and it's an actual bear. Yeah. Just really for that scene. Also for the movie theater scene to watch, because I think the whole idea of the bastards being goofy in the movie theater and accidentally succeeding at what they were doing would be better with puppets.
I agree.
I like these ideas. These are fun.
I would watch these movies. We need more movies like this where you mix people and puppets and not make it all cutesy family. Go
Tarantino R-rated. Movies.
Pulp Fiction with puppets.
Yes.
Just every Tarantino movie. We'll do Django Unchained. Explain to me how that works and with puppets. Because then it'll teach kids all about, you know, bad times.
Yeah, you'll just have a puppet hanging from a tree.
Oh, all right. You just made that up.
All right. You just went too far.
Yeah.
But
with puppets. We can't do that with puppets. No, you're right. Actually, I don't think Tarantino should have done it with people, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. But Pulp Fiction would be awesome.
Stabbing the heroin needle in the puppet. That would be great.
I'm thinking about the Marcellus Wallace scene. That's where I'm at.
I'm thinking about the Gimp. Would the Gimp be a
exactly.
puppet?
Everyone.
No, everyone but the Gimp. Gimp's a person. Puppet right. brings a person Gimp out.
Oh my gosh, these are wonderful.
Well, we've got some listener ones, actually, that had some picks. So why don't we do those? Amanda, why don't you start? What are your listener picks? And they posted in our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. We just asked them, give us some movies you think would be great if we added puppets. What do you got?
So Angela Wallach said, I would love to see the church scene from Kingsman in puppet form. And that would be awesome. Could you imagine? And then they still have the accents. I need them to still have the
British
accents.
Puppets?
Yes.
I could dig that.
Yeah. Scott Calgaro said Evil Dead 2, the demons as puppets. I can't describe how awesome it would be to see the buckets of blood flying after Ash chainsaws a Muppet.
I'll swallow your soul.
Yep.
I'm on board. And then David Gentner said, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The only human is Nurse Ratched.
That would be amazing.
Caligula, 50-50 split human to puppet ratio.
Wow.
Any or all Whoa. Mission Impossible, only replace Tom Cruise. My man.
Is a puppet Tom Cruise running with his little arms?
With his little legs. And he's going and he's going and he's going and he's going. I got to get to the plane.
And honestly, the puppet would still be taller than Tom Cruise.
That's probably true.
All right, John, what do you got? Or who do you got?
Oh, see, I've picked up everyone who I think is like they're my soul people here. This is like okay. my family. I think the ideas that I got. Rob says, Sweeney Todd, where everyone but Depp is a puppet.
I would Agreed. Like that.
Where there's like a trending theme on this show right now where Johnny Depp stays, but then puppets all around him.
Like Makes I said, sense.
That seems to be
you
the
finally
consensus.
Put Johnny Depp with a bunch of people who can stand up to his presence. Hope Merkel says, Children of the Corn, a whole new level of creepy, possibly cuddly fun. Yeah, it's like you don't know if you want to cuddle with those scary kids or they're scared. Mm. They'll kill. Yeah, I get it. Everyone's human, but the Children of the Corn. I like that idea. And then Thomas Beck says, Star Wars with only Darth Vader as a human.
Yes.
Again. Can you imagine Rogue One at the end when Darth Vader shows up and he's just cutting those Muppets in half and everything?
It would definitely make that movie better than it was.
It would definitely. Yeah.
But it would be like the lightsaber would then be similar to the Logan feel where all of a sudden you can just see puppets flying, pieces flying everywhere.
Only they're on fire because the lightsaber burns too.
Yes. So now we get,
I like it.
Bernie bits of puppets flying everywhere. Yeah.
Justin Vaughn says it comes at night when there's actually something to be scared of and it turns out just to be puppets. Wouldn't that be amazing? You finally see them and you're terrified this whole movie and then it's like, ooh, they're Aww. Puppets. I can't be scared of puppets, but then they kill them.
John would start clapping. Yay!
They're going to kill the peoples. We've got Paula Francine. Anything with Adam Sandler, top of that list would be 50 First Dates, then Wedding Singer. Just think of that scene where Adam Sandler is singing that Love Stinks song, but as a puppet.
Yes.
That makes me smile.
It works.
I'll try to rattle through some of these. Mike Bonovich says Seven. The Seven Deadly Sins have never been funnier. Jesus. Yeah. What's the box? It's a puppet. John Sanford, A Good Day to Die Hard would be awesome with puppets. Also replace Jai Courtney in any movie with a puppet. Or you could just replace him with a puppet in real life, period. Jesus. A couple more, then we'll wrap this up. Matt Carrion says Fight Club, but only keep Marla.
Ooh, yeah.
Nobody talks about Puppet Fight Club. Brian Lowry says Expendables, only keep the bad guys. Peter Germany said Mad Max Puppet Road. And I think that we already say Children of the Corn from Hope Merkel.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay. And Wayne Henderson and Sean Fuller, they had similar ideas to mine. So we're not. Oh, and lastly, Nate Bruce. I'd like to see Carrie.
Yes. When all of the blood and then it's just a puppet. Yes. She's accepting. Yeah.
These are great.
These are good.
I love these. This should be its own genre.
Right.
I didn't know I
think Brian Henson can do a lot with this.
Well, maybe your movie does well and we'll get more.
Zach and Miri make a porno.
Whoa, whoa,
whoa.
That whole
Hold on. We're all about Happy Time Murders, but now you guys are like, whoa, Amanda, you went too far.
No, I was trying to put it together in my head. Now I'm getting there.
That's actually the last Seth Rogen movie I liked with him in it. So
There you go.
So would he still be a person or would he be the puppet?
He would be the person, but Elizabeth Banks would be a puppet.
Yep.
Mm.
There would be puppet porno.
So we had to have sex with the puppet?
And then that whole scene where the guy gets covered, it would be completely different if he was filming it from like it was puppets doing it. It'd be like confetti and like.
Man, what happened to you as a child? There's something so weird happened to you. He's still giggling. I wasn't kidding. Phenomena. All right. Last thing. If you had your own puppet made, I don't even know if it was on your format or not, but I don't care. You had your own puppet made of you. What would be your puppet voice for yourself? Amanda?
I guess I'm going to have to try to imitate a voice and I don't really know how. I feel like mine would be closest to Beaker where he's like, meep, meep. Meep. That's all it would do. Just annoy the shit out of you. Meep, 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 meep.
It's working.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You're welcome.
Somebody listening going, yep, it's getting there.
Uh-huh.
All right, John, what's your puppet voice? I'm sure you have one in your closet.
Who, me?
Yeah, I would imagine you probably practiced this before.
I don't know what I'm talking about, man. I don't got no puppet voice.
That one's kind of fun. I like it.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah. That is John. Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to talk the whole rest of the episode like this, okay?
I'm glad we're almost done then. Mine would probably be something stupid, so...
Hi! What are you doing? Hello? Hi!
This is Aaron.
I could do the old Howie Mandel.
My name is Bobby.
My name is Bobby.
Yeah. Hi. Hi. Let's do this for the rest of the episode.
The whole episode.
Is there any recent film or TV recommendations that either one of you have?
Oh, my name is Bobby. Anybody, what do you got?
So, I just finished watching Voltron Season 7. It was pretty good. I'm really surprised by how good that freaking cartoon is about people riding lions. It's crazy.
I haven't seen anything new. No.
No. Nothing.
Yours sounds like you gave up at the end. You're like,
it hurts. I can't.
John doesn't care. He just keeps going.
All
right,
let's do this all day.
He probably does.
Go ahead. As we go, why don't you take us out, John?
All right. So remember, we got a Facebook group, and you can follow us on Twitter at BIPOCPorn. And remember to grab hold of the girl with the Android app, Spotify. And we're at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're also on your favorite podcast app. You can find my artwork on Insta and just about everybody else at rjohn.draws. I don't know why there's a period in there, but it is. Amanda's on seat. Or smirk. I got her name and the name of the podcast mixed up. I don't know what to do with this anymore. And remember... You can find Aaron with Remake This Room Rewrite. Oh, no, you can't anymore because he sucks. Beyond Westworld and The Blacklist Exposed. I want to thank everybody for being here.
Glad to be here.
Oh, I'm crying.
Okay. So that's the end of the show. I want to thank you all for listening. And remember, the next time you head to the theater, buy Twizzlers. Maybe popcorn.
Ah! Oh my god, it hurts.
I think that works.